This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Thursday edition. Sitting here at the end of February. Is this one of them leap years? I haven't really looked at a calendar in a while.
I believe so.
It is. So we get a bonus, yeah. A bonus day?
Yeah, the 29th.
That means that's one.
It is a leap year.
It's one more day before I have to have my own birthday, right?
Which
like, birthday?
The one after 39.
Yes, join us.
So I get an extra
one
day.
One of us.
Yes.
You know.
What a loser.
When you guys were going through, you know, you're aging. You know, it was easy to make fun of you because you're older. Old, really. And all the while, I'm thinking, you know, when I get there, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
I'm not feeling that way anymore.
Oh, no. You're looking it down.
He can smell it. He can taste it.
Baby. I'm getting out. It's like the time now where people are looking at me a little different. They know. The people on the street, they know something's coming. Mm-hmm, like that guy is so
close. A lot
of
people are just ignoring you.
Yeah.
It's like you just don't even exist.
Different magazines coming in the mail for different things, you know, medical devices, you know. But now that I know that it's a leap year, I get an extra day to wait.
Congratulations,
put it up. Thank you. Yeah. There's not a chance they add like another 365 to the end of February.
I'll look into it.
Thank you. That'd be helpful. Welcome in. We've got a fun show today. We're going to get to the quick question, which is a question about forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to forgive Mike for his pick in that segment.
We haven't done yet?
Yeah, in the segment you haven't done. It's a tease.
That's fine.
I'm not going to forgive you who you're going to forgive.
That's fine.
Just saying. UltimateDraftKit.com. Head over there. Order by March 1st. Get a chance to win a listener league spot.
Tell you what Leap Year has done for the people.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
He wants people out of that UDK. Go on, Mike.
No, he wants. I want them into the UDK.
Oh, all right.
And the slackers, the people who are putting things off, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, you get one extra day. You get one extra day to get into the UDK before March 1st, because if you do, you could win a spot in our listener league. But you got to get in before March 1st. And then, of course, you get all the goodness of the UDK when it releases, or the greatness of the Dynasty Pass right now. UltimateDraftKit.com.
Thank you, Mike. That was solid. I shouldn't have doubted you.
You saw my name and you're just all hot and bothered and mad.
You know, I was a little distracted because I saw that like there's this news that broke about Amazon Prime Video, where we've seen Amazon hosting several Thursday night football games. That's where the home of Thursday
might
night football
say all
was.
Of them.
Yeah. You might.
Several, probably like 18 or 17.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know for sure. They didn't host Thanksgiving, did they?
Yeah, they did. They had a Thanksgiving game.
Right. Oh, man, that backfired.
I really said that with a punch. But they're going to host their first NFL playoff game after the 2024 season next year. And I thought maybe we could host one.
I would,
you know what I mean?
Based on what it costs, going to back out.
I'm going
to
check my wallet. I think I got a couple Twinskies in there.
So
I can chip in.
It's going to be $120 million.
Oh!
I don't know if we could GoFundMe that. I don't know if the Foot Clan can come up with $120 million. But Amazon's going to do it.
That's a lot of quiche.
The streaming continues.
One game, huh?
Just one game. Oh, man. Wow. Imagine spending it on a game, and you know you don't – I mean, you don't know who's playing, right?
Correct.
You're not out there – there's not like an eBay of these games where they're like, oh, the Chiefs-Eagles matchup this year.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It's a
playoff
game. But you
got to be rooting for something.
Of course, but every single playoff game gets massive viewership. They're going to make money on this $120 million deal with ad revenue.
Yeah.
Apparently, they passed last year. And that's why Peacock got the playoff game.
Which was behind a paywall.
Yeah.
Which, well, I guess Prime
is on a paywall. So Mr. Bezos said, not this time.
Watch this.
Yeah. It is funny because I don't consider Prime behind a paywall. Because
I
the entire world the has Amazon Prime, it feels like.
Yeah, if you get to a certain point, like where a certain percentage of people all have it, it doesn't feel like it's behind a paywall.
Right.
But there are people that don't have Prime, right?
Of course.
Yeah, there's got to be.
Okay. That's true. That's why I didn't make that assumption.
If everyone has it, why would you advertise ever?
That's fair.
There's still new people out there.
They all will by this playoff game. All right. Follow us on X at the FF Ballers. Here's your quick question. Maybe I can find some forgiveness for Mike within it. The question is, who is a player you are willing to forgive in 2024? So somebody that did something last year, they had a performance that you were, look, it wasn't great. It was a bad time. Maybe it let you down because you talked all about them.
Well, I'll hop in here just to make us wait longer for Mike's
unforgivable take,
okay. According to Andy. For me, it's Ramondre Stevenson. I mean, a terrible year, just really, really, really disappointing. If you drafted him, you got off to a bad start. Those first 5 weeks were just, he was meh or bad the first month plus of the season. The end of the season, if you had traded for him, as I did in one of our leagues, well, he didn't play. He missed the last month of the season with injury. I don't believe he would have necessarily missed the Patriots at that point had kind of turned it in, folded up shop, shut down early because they were going for that top draft pick by that point in time. But I don't think it was as bad as it felt. In the middle of the season, even with a terrible, terrible, awful Patriots team and an offense that was completely inept, he had a six-game stretch there where it was like the guy that you were hopeful in coming into the season, you know, on pace for 1,500 all-purpose yards, 70 receptions, and he is in the last year of his rookie deal, so he's a done deal. He's going to be their main starting running back. I don't believe they will go and this season aim to usurp him. They might add to him because, obviously, Ezekiel Elliott now is a free agent. I doubt they bring him back. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but, he was there when Ramondre was still good. And you've got Alex Van Pelt coming in, their new offensive coordinator coming over from Cleveland, a good, very running back friendly scheme. So I think Ramondre's fine.
So you forgive him?
I forgive him. Players have bad seasons. Players deal with injuries. He was not bad. He was in a bad situation.
I think it would be good if we each said whether we would also forgive the player you bring up, and this was a dumpster fire of a team. The one thing I'll say is there will be a variable of, like, new head coach, right? Jared Mayo. And, sometimes you have favorites and stuff like that, but Ramondre said he wants to be the bell cow. His situation last year felt like you were like, Michael Carter's going to take some carries from Breece Hall, like we said a couple years ago. That didn't happen. And then this one was like, oh, Zeke could take some carries from Ramondre, and it kind of happened.
A little bit, but it
but
did.
I'll forgive him.
You will.
I will forgive Ramondre Stevenson. Mike, do you forgive him?
Yeah. Oh, I do. He can show out as a pass catcher. I mean, when he was given the opportunity, he came through for you, and it's just the team was so bad last year.
All right, Mike.
No. We're saving it.
I was going to say, hold it, because Andy, you're up.
Garrett Wilson is the player that I will forgive from 2024. He had the best, worst season.
Jason's face is a little perplexed.
I realized I don't forgive Andy for this take.
Oh, get bodied.
It's too easy.
Oh.
Who isn't forgiving Garrett Wilson?
I'm not even mad at him.
Here's why.
Who's mad at Garrett Wilson? Yeah.
Apparently Andy.
I'll tell you who's mad at Garrett Wilson is everybody that drafted him in the second round last year and got this performance where, like, he played 18 games and you won none of your weeks because of him. If he was on a winning week for fantasy, it was incidental. It was an accident. It was you saying, maybe this will be a week where he gets a bunch of targets. Oh, he did. But it didn't matter. He got a bunch of targets. He had 168 targets, and it didn't matter. It's kind of the wide receiver situation that we talked about with Sam Howell throwing the ball more than everybody in all of football, and it didn't help them have a running back or a wideout do anything. They chucked it Garrett's way. A lot. And it didn't matter. I mean, 11 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns. And it felt like a player that, like, was wearing, like, trying to put the whole team on his back all year, but couldn't do it. Like, sometimes you just can't.
Not everyone's Greg Jennings.
It's like you're playing tug of war, and it's just you versus the rest of the NFL on the other side. And he was pulling as hard as he could pull.
I can tell you who has forgiven Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, Andy. Who's that?
The best ball community.
All of them.
Because last year, the excitement for Garrett Wilson was at a fever pitch when he was the wide receiver 10. Currently, in basketball, the wide receiver 8.
The upside for Garrett Wilson is unbelievable.
Yes, great player.
If you took this season, where Garrett Wilson was a disappointment, he was 95 for 1,000. If he had 10 touchdowns this year, he's got a great year. And so I think some people see the upside and they say, look, I'm gonna pay up for Garrett Wilson's upside with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
I drafted him at the 1-2 turn in my most recent best.
How'd you feel about it?
I didn't.
And why don't you forgive me? Oh, because you said it's too easy.
Yeah.
You forgive him as well.
Yeah. Kind of like Mike said, I have nothing to forgive.
If you drafted him in that spot that you just talked about where he went in best ball.
Yeah.
You're coming back and taking him at 8 this year?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people aren't.
Well, the average people are.
No, but the average people.
You're saying
11 out of 12 didn't take him last year.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that in our main league of record, the you know, the one we care about the most, I didn't experience the heartbreak and the frustration of having him.
Mike had him for a while, and he has him in Dynasty.
Yes, I did. I had him in Dynasty, which at the end of the year was truly a delight of, like, do I actually play Garrett Wilson in the playoffs? That was a great decision.
Oh, as in it was terrible.
It was the worst.
You couldn't decide whether you wanted to play the
wide
receiver 59, 43, 30, 67,
yep.
43.
Yep, that's the one.
All right, so you both forgive him. And apparently I took too easy of a route.
It's okay.
He's a great player.
I forgive you now.
Can I have a bonus real quick?
I won't explain. Sure. Little mini bonus.
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Will you forgive Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I forgive.
But by
Patrick
forgiving
Mahomes.
This, that means you'll then look at him to be the QB, a top three quarterback next year.
No, if that's what forgiving means, then I don't forgive him.
You don't.
Yeah, I don't either then.
Okay, all right.
Glad I went with Wilson. All right, Mike.
All right. It is a player who I still think can be good, so I will forgive him because last year was a total disaster. It was Tony Pollard of the Dallas Cowboys. The excitement, people were so pumped for Tony Pollard. Zeke is gone. His efficiency metrics have been off the charts, and it was awful. It was truly, truly awful for where you drafted him. Converted just 3 of his 16 carries inside the 5-yard line. He's going to be a free agent, almost 27. But why I'm willing to forgive Tony Pollard is a couple things have come out now where a good friend of the show, Matt Harmon, like actually talked to Tony Pollard and was talking about the injury, because lost to time is Tony Pollard was coming off of a devastating injury. And unfortunately, because we look at football players as these are modern day superheroes, gladiators, impervious to pain. These guys play through things that I can't even imagine going to work with this. And they're out there having 300-pound men try to destroy them. And you forget that Tony Pollard was hurt. And so Harmon was talking to him and said, you know, when did you actually finally feel all right? And he said, the Carolina game, which was week 11. And then on Twitter, Andrew Erickson from Fantasy Pros, he pointed out, and I went and I vetted this, said, you know, he echoed what Harmon had said of Tony Pollard, said he didn't feel great until week 11. Pro Football Focus, their highest graded runner from week 11 till the end of the season was Tony Pollard. So this didn't turn into huge fantasy points. And look, I'm not going to get into the PFF discussion about grading, but just the point being, the people watching Pollard's tape said, no, this guy is back. From week 11, he was the running back 15 on. It wasn't like world-changing or draft-saving production, but in that time period, points per game, he's right along the lines of David Montgomery, Travis Etienne, Devin Singletary, who went on his heater. Like, those were the guys he was around in points per game. So the point being, I'm willing to forgive if he ends up in another great situation this much further away from the injury recovery. I think that there is still something left for Tony Pollard. I'm not going to boost him up to being, you know, what we hoped for last year, but I think he has something to offer.
Now there's a follow-up question here that from Tony P on YouTube. Okay. Is it crazy to trade away Tony Pollard for Kendre Miller and the 201? What's your level of forgiveness here? Obviously, Pollard's a free agent. We don't know where he's going to go.
Dynasty is so different, because 27 years old is like, that's when I'm looking to get rid of players at least a year too early. I mean, that's a wild swing for Kendre Miller, who should be a backup at least for this year. Maybe he takes over for Alvin Kamara.
Like, doesn't seem like it.
It's not likely. It's in the range of outcomes. It's something that could happen in the 201. I don't think it's crazy. You would be really trying to get out in front of something. I think I might do it. I might do that.
Do you forgive Tony Pollard, Jason?
It was a compelling case, and given the incoming rookie running backs, I think that the free agents this year will have an easier time than last year. So I'm willing to forgive him. Now, what that means is he needs to go to a good home. He needs to get a contract. You go out and get a contract, I forgive you.
Yeah, and I don't know how he'll do that exactly. I have a policy in my life. I don't forgive people that have been dowdled. You know what I mean? It's just a family rule.
Right.
Yeah. If someone has dowdled me,
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
That's dangerous.
That is very dangerous.
That is a dangerous thing.
You don't want to be Rico.
No. you don't want to get Rico laws either.
Right.
Tony Pollard was so hurt that the team did nothing in the offseason and handed him the ball a billion times for the first 11 weeks. I understand he was better in the second half, but let's not forget the narrative street, the reality of why we liked Dak and CeeDee that time of year. The schedule was nice, and the team played well, and he still couldn't get into the end zone except for one time in that entire stretch of games.
Not in the second half.
Yeah, in the second half, he scored one rushing touchdown, right?
No, in the second half.
The second half
from week 11 on is where actually four of his six rushing touchdowns happened.
Yeah.
Like, and the numbers, honestly, for him weren't, like, outrageously better.
The reason I won't forgive him,
they were better.
Is because he's going to switch teams. He's getting older. And last season's situation should have been pinnacle opportunity for him. How can I forgive and trust
a player that's done this? What if he's back with the Cowboys?
If he's back with the Cowboys, that would be, I guess, the best scenario.
But if he's back with the Cowboys, do you forgive
him?
No. Okay.
No, because he was in the top three most detrimental fantasy selections that you can make. and I don't have a reason to forgive him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fair. Like, we need Garrett Wilson to deliver, right?
Yeah. And you have a reason with Aaron Rodgers not being like maybe hurt, maybe not hurt. He was gone.
I can't imagine. Everything else in the Cowboys stayed the same, right? The same head coach and an offensive situation other than defensive coordinator. So this is a coach that has like, they're like, I'm going to dowdle down at the goal line. Yep. You know what I mean?
No,
so he's probably going to be like, I'm going to do something else around.
And
the
I think
line.
That a lot of the community will feel the same way. So.
And that's why you're going to be in.
This is really
interesting because I find myself right on the border of forgiveness or unforgiveness.
Did the dowdle comment make any significant?
It put some doubts in my mind.
Oh.
Baby.
Busted.
I want to pull Deuces Alley on Pollard.
Jason.
Yeah, give it to
I had
me.
A note here.
Mm-hmm, I remember it.
Yeah, you made fun of my jokes.
Yeah, because it was bad.
And
bad.
I made a note to point out your jokes to you.
Give it to me.
You just made a dowdle into a doubt-old joke.
Yeah, baby! Okay. Oh, yeah! Oh, baby, the people love it.
I'm just checking in. I'll check in from time
Thank
to time.
You. Thank you for checking in.
See how you feel about him.
I want to check in with Deucer's Alley.
And that's when their podcast began to decline.
On the Pollard forgiveness or unforgiveness.
Who are you checking on?
With Deucer's Alley. I want to check with the producers because right now they are the people that I could talk to.
So what, you want to
forgiveness? Or unforgiveness on Tony Pollard based on these conversations. We'll start with Owl.
I'm not ready to forgive.
Okay.
Okay, unforgiveness.
Okay.
A hard man.
I know Brooks.
Brooksy?
I'll forgive him.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. He's got hope and love.
So the Rapscallion's breaking the tie here.
Oh, crap.
I'm with Owl. I'm not going to forgive
all
him.
All right, yeah. There you go.
And also, Mike's joke was better.
Oh, get wrecked.
Oh,
get
man.
It. Get wrecked.
And Jason,
he's out the,
and
Jason is out the seat.
Jason
he has unplugged his headphones. He's sleeping. Oh, someone called the police. Jason.
Wow.
Jason is giving him the business.
Wow.
Sorry, Jay. It's the truth.
Hey, wow. Dude, you don't have to apologize to nobody.
People on YouTube, come rescue me, okay? All right. Tell the truth.
Well, it seems. You know what? It seems like a good time for a break. Let's take a break and talk some news. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Did you get a chance to kind of settle down, Jay?
Yeah. This show's about forgiveness.
Yeah.
Rapscallion, I forgive you.
There you go.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, We've got an update from Baltimore.
Yeah, always the best news to talk about.
ESPN's Jameson Hensley reports the Baltimore County Police are suspending a domestic assault investigation into Zay Flowers without charges. The NFL is still monitoring the situation. The NFL has the right to do their own investigation.
Yeah, that's always the takeaway here is, yes, the actual legalities are done. But if the NFL looks into things more and they say you have besmirched the shield, they have the right to step in.
Jordan Schultz from Bleacher Report talking about Mike Evans and the Buccaneers, that they are still far apart on a contract extension. I saw some additional context on this that kind of dismissed the idea of them being without hope to reach an agreement. They seem to think it was still possible, but we'll find out if Mike Evans returns or if he will find a new home. He is officially fantasy football's favorite player to Photoshop into other jerseys this offseason, I feel like, because everyone's like, oh, Lamar and Mahomes and Josh Allen, what if they had this guy?
So it would be good for them.
And then we have a report that Deshaun Watson, on track in his rehab schedule, will begin throwing in March. So
not ahead of schedule.
On track.
That's not a bad sign.
Yeah, that's bad.
Is on track behind schedule?
On track is definitely behind schedule. Mm-hmm. The only way you're on schedule anymore is to be ahead of it.
Yes. To be on time, to be early is to be on time.
So that's a bad report.
That's how I'm choosing to read it.
Now March is that's quite a bit earlier in the season though. So I think he'll be all right. Justin Fields, oh, this is fun. We always like watching this. This is where we're at. Welcome to February.
This is welcome to the future.
It really is. I mean, there's something to be said. It doesn't mean it always leads somewhere, but let me get to it.
It does. It always leads to stupidity.
I'm going to unfollow you for that. Justin Fields has unfollowed the Bears on Instagram.
Oh, no.
And
what?
Has followed... apparently, guys he wants to play with. Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson. You notice they didn't report a quarterback he followed because he wants to be their quarterback.
I say, well, let's get the deal done. I think this makes sense for all parties, and I would love it for pretty much all parties, not Pitts.
Nah.
I would like it for London.
This is one of those relative situations, right? Relative to what they have, yes.
Yeah.
That's all we can go with, I guess.
Yeah,
if Justin Fields is a running quarterback.
If we can turn Drake London into a top 24 wide receiver, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, DJ Moore is the
example.
He's wide receiver six.
Six, yeah. I mean, it was boosted by some real spike games, but those –
all right, I'm in.
It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing, and it's better than where things are going.
They really had nothing last year. So, yeah, we'll find out if, did Justin Fields have a conversation with someone in Chicago and they disclose he's probably not going to be there?
Who monitors social media this close? Are there bots that just alert teams of people when – follows and unfollows happen within NFL players? It always blows my mind.
There are bots. They are called interns. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I was going to say it's called Reddit. They think
those are the bots.
You think the Redditors aren't on top of this?
It is, you know, it's hard because this is the time of year when everyone's getting interviewed. So you don't know if like Justin Fields responded to like, you know, did somebody from the Bears say something in the media that made it seem like they weren't interested in him? Is it, you saw an interview with DJ Moore. DJ Moore wants him back.
Maybe the Bears account just sucks.
Have we thought about this?
This isn't a good follow. Yeah. So it's a bad follow.
He's like, my follows are worth a lot, and I'm not going to waste my time. Bears social media, get it together.
There was a time last offseason that Kyler Murray didn't have a lot of Cardinals on his social media. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yep.
Who does he play for?
The Arizona Cardinals.
All right, that'll do it for the news and notes today. Let's jump into the mailbag.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. All right, lots of questions from the people. If you have one yourself, you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. click the submit a question button or dial our voicemail hotline 302-464-TFFB. Let's start with the voicemail.
Hey, Ballers. Commissioner here. I wanted to ask about the IR spot. Why not just add another roster spot? All I hear you guys do is complain about how the IR spot isn't that great, especially because they don't designate people out on time. So why not just add the other spot? I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want to hear the other side. Thank you.
I mean, I think people, you can add as many bench spots as you want. People will still ask for an IR spot because if you add another bench spot, that is 12 times three, right? 36 additional players that would be available on the free agent pool. That won't be because you don't leave a spot blank and you're not waiting for an injury. So you go out there and you will have 36 additional players taken away from, you know, teams that need to pivot and sign somebody. I like a bench size that forces managers to have an, you know, they'll have enough room to hold some players, but not so much room that they don't have to make tough decisions.
And not so many players that the waiver wire is bare and boring. And you don't have, you want to fight on the waiver wire,
yes,
right? You want to like have that competition every time that the waiver day comes around where it's like, who got this guy? If, you know, otherwise it's a dynasty league where, you know, or that feel where waivers are, you know, they're,
that's a lot
they're
of players,
mad.
36 additional players that,
yeah,
you know, you want people to be making choices about who they're playing that week and letting guys go into the free agent pool that might be nice holds because then other people can speculate. A lot of speculation on the waiver wire is fun and entertaining.
Yeah, and to speak to the complaining about IR, that is for fun and entertainment. I mean,
I appreciate it, Jason. Thank you.
It's just the truth. We complain about a lot of stuff in fantasy that grinds our gears.
If we fix it, what are we going to complain
about? We
have
nothing to talk
about. We'll find something else to complain about, but it's like a sign of respect and love that we're so frustrated that this guy's not marked out yet. It's fun.
That's why we mostly choose things that can't be changed to complain about.
Right.
Because we want to back ourselves into a nice corner there.
Mm-hmm. And while one of us, when you have the player on the IR, you are the one who is complaining. The other people are enjoying it so much.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
When I know that my opponent is now hamstrung because of the player who's in the IR and they can't make a move, I'm happy about it.
Every morning that Mike posts, why won't they take this guy off the IR? He's complaining. I'm going.
Yeah, you're grabbing the popcorn bucket, sitting back, having a good time.
I hope they take longer to move his. Yeah, so it's it's just part of the game.
Yeah, just not the Dune popcorn bucket.
All right, we have a couple of. Oh man,
move it along.
We have a couple of Breece Hall questions.
Let's go toss that right in there. Move along.
Tessina says. Breece Hall or Ja'Marr Chase in a one keeper league?
Is one keeper league. Okay, so this is basically a redraft.
I will shock you to say I think it's pretty darn close.
Oh, I think it is exceptionally close. I will, if this was a startup, I'm going to take Chase over Breece.
No, this is just a redraft.
No, but that's what I'm, or yes, I said startup as in dynasty, but I meant just basically redraft. That's how I'm viewing it. Just a normal draft, I would take Chase ahead of him. So
me too.
It's close, but that's how I lean.
That's really tough.
I really, really like Breece Hall this year. Like running back two.
Yeah, Breece Hall can be, and this
just
is
just like I've always said.
This is the game.
One of my guys.
If everything goes right, of course. But if Aaron Rodgers is healthy and they make any sort of adjustments, improvements to the offensive line, Breece Hall can be a an almost CMC level impact to your fantasy lineup because he catches so many passes. You can have two players in one spot. I think I would gamble. I think I'd gamble with Breece Hall.
How could they not improve that offensive line?
Because sometimes
they literally
Jets, 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 Jets.
They didn't improve it this year.
If they got rid of, if they played with four. It's got to be better. It's got to be there. I just don't know how it could be as bad as what they were last year.
Honestly, the fact that things go wrong for the Jets factors into the tie for me. But
you're just betting on history.
I'm just betting on history. Yeah. The follow-up question is, Breece Hall the new dynasty RB1? If not, then who? He is not for me.
It's Bijan for me.
It's Bijan for me.
I have Jahmyr Gibbs at one.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs is number two for me.
But if you could program them to scramble every day, that's fine too. I mean, all those guys are right in the mix. So Breece is a great one. There is an article exclusive to the Dynasty Pass now. It's a great article.
Great article.
It's called The Dynasty Life Cycle of Running Backs.
Yeah, Big Marv put that. He's done tremendous work for us for years. And we said, let's get some exclusive stuff into the Dino Pass, man. And he said, yeah. You want to talk about life cycles of running backs? We said, yeah.
And he did.
And the other positions will be coming out as well.
All right, Instagram question. Trading draft picks in redraft.
Yes.
Yay or nay? Sorry, Mike, that is not one of the answers he would like.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
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 Okay.
Whee! All right, I know where we're going. We need a drop that's like Mike analyzes the English language. Begin.
What? Why were we doing that? What? Like when you vote, yeah, I want yay or nay. And it's like, here's the bigger problem. One, it's silly because yay is now a word that means like yay, fun, like fun, yeah. But they rhyme. Know what I mean?
Right. Yes and no.
It's the same vowel sound, and they're yes and no. You are not mixing those up. You could get yay or nay. Yay. Was that a yay or was that a nay? Hey.
It's a little easier to be loud with the word yay.
Yeah, you can't be very
loud with yes.
You can't
be as loud
yes.
with yes. But okay. You can really... Are you cool with that as
I
an
do.
Answer?
So I accept that.
The answer... So they both come from the old English.
Yeah.
But,
old busted English.
But it does appear that the reason that you vote with yay or nay is because it rhymes. And it sounds great. When you
it
put,
does
they
sound
wanted
great.
That?
Yeah.
They want the confusion.
Run. They want to be able to say yay or nay. That just it flows. You know?
And then at the end they go... These
are the decision makers.
The yays have it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. As opposed to the yeses.
Yeah. The yeses have
the
it.
The yeses have it?
Yeah, Mike.
Come on.
Sorry.
Grow up, Mike.
Old English wins again.
The vote passes. I mean, what's wrong with that?
What? You know what? It doesn't rhyme.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andy.
All right. Instagram question.
Hey.
Sam wants to know what our favorite type of league to play in is, redraft, keeper, or dynasty. I am in the keeper camp.
I am in the keeper camp as well.
I am a keeper as well.
Which is ironic because I think it is the least.
It's the minority of those three.
Common.
Yeah.
It's easier to find a redraft league and easier to find a dynasty league. Keepers, though, are to me the absolute chef's kiss of a combination where you get year-round play, you get off-season magic, and yet the waiver wire, the draft day is.
Yeah, you preserve the draft. But you still have players.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Part of that might be because keeper formats are all over the map. Some people keep one or three or five.
Yeah, there's not like a universal sign up for a keeper league and everyone's playing the same format.
Maybe like our league of record format should be called what a keeper league is. Like that can just become the Coca-Cola of formats.
We should just talk to Sleeper and be like, hey, make our league
the default
keeper league.
Well, I vote yay.
Yay.
Okay.
Oh, man.
All right, quick break.
At least it rhymed.
Another quick break. Back with some more questions. This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This question comes from YouTube. Kyle Reeder wants to know, is Javonte Williams going to get back into the conversation of RB1 territory after a year of recovery, or did McLaughlin do enough to split that backfield? Javonte Williams is entering the final year of his rookie contract. He is not yet 24 years old. He had 3 rushing touchdowns on 217 attempts. Most people think Russell Wilson will be gone. I am part of most people, but I will say no, I don't think so.
So you're not going to forgive Javonte Williams?
No. I don't feel like he's in need of forgiveness necessarily, because he's never done it. I mean, he's had spurts and games in the past, then he got injured. I'm not, you don't have to forgive a guy for getting hurt, and then he didn't deliver this year, but that's not a – I need to forgive players that have a standard they've set, and then they don't meet it.
Okay.
And to me, Javonte just didn't look good. To me, he just didn't look that good. He looked fine.
I don't think he looked fine. I think he looked pretty poor. The question is going to be, obviously, he came back and surprised everyone with his timeline for getting back from a horrific knee injury. It wasn't a straight ACL. It was one that you just did not think he'd be able to get back in time for the start of the season. We assumed he'd start on the pup and then get back slowly, maybe by the end of the season, start showing up. Instead, he got out week one. He got out to preseason games and played in the preseason, shocking the fantasy world. And I think maybe that makes us forget that usual timeline on recovery from that injury, is really the next year where you come back to form. And there is a world that exists where he is back to his old self. I think because of the contract situation and the draft capital and the roster needs of the Broncos, there is a good chance Javonte enters the season with a similar depth chart and gets a lot of opportunity. And
he's
so,
like Ramondre, right? Same year?
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of those where you get to see, was it the injury or was he not that dude? And it's so hard to watch how he played last year and say, well, it's going to totally change. It was all the injury. He's going to be great this year. Very difficult to have that, but I do think it's worth the intellectual exercise of remembering that specific injury and the normal expectations for it. This isn't revisionist history or, after the season finding out that, he was hurt more than we thought. This was like we knew he was supposed to be bad this year. Yeah, he was.
He's going to have wide range of outcomes because yeah. McLaughlin is a player that the current regime opted for, right?
Like, sure.
Go ahead, Mike.
So what's hard about evaluating Javonte is like we have Breece Hall. Okay, Breece Hall tore his ACL. He comes back. I can't recall. I think it might have been a relatively easier injury to come back for. But Breece Hall was not himself over the first half of the season or so. But eventually you started to – and he – like inefficiency on the ground. But eventually you saw, oh, yeah, like I can see it.
Vintage.
I can see Breece Hall. I can see the guy that we all fell in love with. And Javonte, to me, just never had that game at any point in the season where I said, oh, that's Javonte. That's the guy who was drafted in the second round. So, I mean
– I was regularly impressed by McLaughlin.
Oh, yeah. He had
juice. He was lined with –
more electric.
Yes. Yeah, and that's – so the fact that we didn't see it, that's where it becomes so hard to – the RB1 range, it won't be talked about it like that, but I will leave the window cracked because I thought he was such an outstanding prospect and was so excited that there is a chance. And, of course, the Sean Payton history with running backs has – it's been good to fantasy football players, so a chance, but highly skeptical. You saw nothing.
And McLaughlin, he looked really, really good. But the team did not give him that much work. I think he made some plays that caught your eye, but the team still gave the vast majority of work to the underperforming Javonte. So
Would it surprise you that Samaje Perine somehow had 50 catches for 455 yards in the passing game?
Yeah, it does surprise
that
me.
That shocks me.
Feels like he was deleted from the roster
at
some point
like
in the 50, season.
Yeah, felt like 50 empty catches. But I guess that team didn't feel too good overall until that run. All right, let's move on here. Instagram question from Zach. In a new dynasty startup, is it worth it to draft CMC first overall?
No.
Probably not, but close.
No.
Yeah, I mean, if a dynasty startup.
When you have Bijan and Breece at the ages that they're at with the potential, like there's no guarantee that they don't beat McCaffrey this year.
Yeah, there is a guarantee that they have a longer career this point.
If McCaffrey was guaranteed to be the number one relative to the talent out there beyond him, I think.
To me, it's not a matter of
being. Was it worth it last year? If last year McCaffrey was number one pick in a dynasty startup, would you say you made the right pick?
I would still say no, but not because of Bijan and Breece, but because of the other top tier wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather, like, if I'm starting.
I was only thinking running backs. Yeah. I was only.
If I'm starting a new dynasty startup and I can get my hands on a Justin Jefferson, a Jamar Chase, a CeeDee Lamb.
So let's change the question then, because I meant it just in respect to the other running backs.
Okay.
Only as the RB1 overall, the number one picked in a dynasty startup at running back.
Yeah, would have
last
been worth
year.
It
would it
last
have been
year.
Worth it to take him over Bijan or Breece?
For sure, the year that you got, because
you're
going to
get three full years, right? Like you're going to get the year you just got, and then this upcoming year, and probably another full year.
Yeah, so you're including last year as the three.
Yeah, so I say at that point you would have gotten three. Is that enough?
Yeah, that's enough.
I mean, what did he score? 20 straight games?
I mean, right now CMC is still already a top five dynasty running back.
He's at two.
So if you were able to get him last year.
He is at two for me.
Wow. Right?
I know you both probably have Breece and Bijan ahead of him.
Yeah, and Gibbs.
I do have Gibbs ahead.
It's just the – I think you have this year, but – I mean, running backs just hit some special outlier running backs happen, and maybe he is that for longevity. But I wouldn't bet the start of my dynasty team of running backs against that of that third year. The third year could happen where I feel quite confident in all those other guys that, yeah, year three, they're still going to be producing.
When we're having this conversation again next offseason, Christian McCaffrey will be 28.7 years old. So
yeah, that's
he's going to be fine.
I see. I'm in that camp.
He's
going to
be fine. I mean,
there are certain players that you have. I mean, we just had Raheem Mostert at 31.5 be the number two fantasy running back.
When you're, you know, the age cliff for running backs, when you look at it as a totality, it's not fair to the outlier running backs, the human beings that are first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, he's better, he's more special, and he's that way for a reason, both genetically and work ethic and mentally, and what, you know, the whole all the ingredients to make the CMC soup. He will be good at 30 years old,
which is a Olympic swimmer and a former NFL player.
Yeah, it's a pretty good combo.
So yeah, I mean, that is
my mom and dad really let me down.
Yeah, it's on them. If my parents should have been in the Olympics.
Yeah, and the NFL.
I think it's interesting to bring up what you did because, you know, it feels like one of those things where some aspects of fantasy football are right in front of your face. And Henry's probably a decent example of this over the last 3 years. Like the Henry discussions about Derrick Henry being too old began a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just last year. I mean, last year was like, and he was fine. I mean,
he was not the Yeti.
But like the preceding 2 or 3 years, we did that. It was a mistake. We did that with Gore, obviously. We've done that with a handful of old people. Old people. Yeah. Old people. So this guy turning 40. But yeah, I feel like if you're sitting there and Christian McCaffrey's right in front of your face, and then you're just like, no, I'm going to just analytics this only. Because of age and not on anything else?
Yeah, in the end.
What percentage of players, this is where analytics gets funky to me. What percentage of players who have finished the year at number one and done the things that Christian McCaffrey has done in the past 2 years drop off the next year. You know, like, we don't have enough. Like, there in 500 years of football, you'd have enough samples of that. But there's only a handful of McCaffreys that have ever played.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you don't get to compare him apples to apples. You compare him with inferior players.
Yeah, you can't do average running backs,
yes,
and then compare them to the outliers. It just can't do it. It won't make sense. So if you wanted to tell me that you would rather take CMC over those other running backs for Dynasty, in the end, what matters and what wins championships are fantasy points scored, and Christian McCaffrey will do that. So I don't mind that. The gameplay-wise, the wide receiver's lifespan, and not just lifespan, but perceived Dynasty value, you know, 4 years from now, even if he's near the end, you will get tons. You could get a haul for Justin Jefferson. 4 years from now, you won't get that even for Breece. Like, now all of a sudden he'll be seen as more of an expiring asset.
He'll be seen
asset.
As an old asset.
Yeah, and so I have a hard time pulling that trigger. But if you're just talking running backs in Dynasty, yeah, score fantasy points.
Mike, just so you know, I can already, like, picture Mike next year at this on this show, like, cackling when McCaffrey somehow struggles. But
oh, I will not. He's my league of record champion. Yeah, I need him to be good.
Yeah, that's true. Let me ask you this, though, because just to expand the discussion, I think it's a good one on Dynasty in general. Like, we're talking about short terms, long terms, most total fantasy points over a small period, most over a long period. But, you know, the longevity of wide receiver is well known. Like, that's why they go first. But the importance and value of elite play at running back is also very evident, because there's less of them that have the ability, yeah, to put a team on their back and win you a title. I mean, that has been proven in redraft, and that you still play the same players in a dynasty league, right? The same amount, generally, sure, speaking, you know, two running backs and, mm-hmm, two or three wide receivers. So in that respect, the importance of running back is significant. I just think that's a very interesting kind of value gamble to take. Like, I know you want to have Jefferson because you want to have an asset that's valuable for 10 years, but you could trade titles.
Yeah, but I will say that while CMC might have slightly higher odds to separate, you could also have Jefferson. CeeDee Lamb this last year is a perfect example. CeeDee Lamb won people titles.
Yeah, for sure.
When you're still the elite of the elite at the wide receiver position, you can go out there and straight up win someone a title. Plus the longevity.
What if the best running backs in football are on your dynasty team, but all they can do is get you to the championship game?
Then I would call myself Andy Holloway.
Yeah, let's say I won a championship with pretty subpar running backs.
We were actually completely flipped in our two leagues. You won with McCaffrey, or I'm sorry, I lost with McCaffrey. I won with Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, no, that's the same, isn't it?
Yeah, you both won with wide receivers.
All right, never mind.
Can we delete the last 10 minutes or so of the pod?
All right. You know what? I could have won. McCaffrey. What did he go out? Halfway through the game. Cheater. That would be you. You're the cheater. Howdy ho, ballers. What is a good offer for Jalen Waddle in Dynasty?
CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, that is it. That is very
good. That'll get it done. It'll get done.
That'll get done. Oh, man. Well.
I mean, what?
Oh, man.
Waddle
like
is
a spear through Jason's heart.
Waddle is still an excellent player. He's still a great dynasty player.
I probably win the championship this year.
Oh,
I don't know.
Hush now, child.
I mean, my team was really good. Was in the playoffs.
Hush.
If I had CeeDee Lamb, because you know it's true.
Hush, child.
You guys talked me into losing the championship.
Shh, quiet down. Simmer down.
I was going to, like, Waddle might be a great low target right now.
Yeah.
This year is weighing very heavily on how people think about him.
We teach people not to blame the fantasy analyst, Jason.
What about when you're literally sandwiched between them?
I mean, I guess you just got to have courage.
I guess so.
So
I'm a weak coward.
I think going and get Waddle right now is I'd at least kick the tires.
He doesn't feel the same way this offseason as he did last season, so that's generally a good sign.
That's when you swoop in.
If you believe in the talent.
But a good offer, I mean, It'll still take a lot. It'll still take at least someone you can start, and then what? What would you take right now, Jay?
Mike Evans?
CeeDee Lamb.
Mike Evans?
I would take him back. Give him to be back. No, I would not take Mike Evans. No. No, Jalen Waddle's 25
Adam
years old.
Adam Thielen.
Grayson.
You're just going through your roster.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I think you'd have to have a top five pick.
I don't think that's happening. I would not trade Waddle away for a top five
really?
Pick. Wait, I mean, I would trade Waddle away for a top five pick.
Yeah, so you would prefer
I would
the
prefer
top five
the
pick.
Top five picks.
Wow. Really?
Andy. Waddle.
I would definitely prefer the first two.
I go beyond.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that now. I'd have to wait till find landing spots.
Interesting.
But I would in a startup. I would like if rookies were included. I'd take Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison over Waddle.
What was that name again?
Nabers.
Malik Nabers. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. You do have this strange habit of removing or adding S's to people's names.
There's only one of them, and so this is
there's
the real hard.
Oh, because you know that there's one.
Right.
Human.
Right. And so
but his last name is
plural.
Is plural.
There's not two of them. Hmm. You know?
So Mahomes.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. That is going to do it for today's show. Coaching Changes episode next week, along with our 10 Things to Remember episode on Thursday. You don't want to miss those. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a review. We'll be back with you then.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.